Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we're looking forward to this time that we're going to be able to spend with you. One minor change is that we're using a different number, a different call-in number. So the number today is 614-4161 if you want to call in your question. Again, that number is 614-4161 if you want to call in your questions today. Well, that line is really just a single line, and so a lot of you may call, and the line may be busy, and we apologize for that. We're still working through some of the challenges working out the 308 number. We're still working through that. But for today, make sure you plan to call your questions in on 614-4161, and we will do our best to let the Bible speak.
Now, if you would rather, you can text in your question by calling or texting to 725 725- 9283, 725-9283, and that is the text line where you can communicate and be able to communicate via texting. Again, that number is 725-9283. You can text in your question right now without hesitation, and it will come directly to us. There's a third way that you can listen to the program and our text us is at our website, which is www.BibleAlone.com. Now, once you're there, anywhere in the world, you can listen to the broadcast right now by hitting the live stream button. We think that is up. We're going to be testing here in a moment. We'll let you know, but we think that is up and running. And you can join us at right now live by going to the website and hitting live stream. And while you're there, let's say that you've got a relative that lives in another part of the world, you can let them tune in via the internet, and they can go to BibleAlone.com and hit live stream and join us. They can also text through that website, which is at the bottom of that screen. They can just type their question in right there, and it will come directly to us here at the studio right now. So anywhere in the world, you can join us for this program as we go to the Bible for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. And again, a reminder, write this number down. Our voice line is 614-4161. 614-4161. You said they're still calling the 308 number? So please note the 308 number is not working, and so we apologize for that. The station is still trying to get that fixed, and so it is not working right now. So call, instead of the 308 number, call 614-4161. Okay, we see that you hung up. We can see that you call, but we can't get any kind of sound through that number. That's the problem. So 614-4161 is the voice line, 614-4161. And we will go to the Bible for the questions that are on your mind. Now, we make no apologies to how we go to the Bible for the answers. And the reason for that is because you don't want to hear any other source of what people would call truth. Because there's only one truth, that which we can find in God's Word. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so we want to go to him to find out what the truth is so that we can be prepared to meet him one day. That's what we're going to be judged by. That's what we must live by. And the truth of the matter is, if there's anything that God's word tells us to be doing or things not to be doing that we may be doing, everything he gives us is for our good. And thus we can go and get our lives straightened out and be able to follow him with certainty that's the way that we're supposed to live here and now in this present world. And so please don't hesitate to go ahead and call us right now with your question. 614-4161 is the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. Before we take our first break, we want you to know that this is a live broadcast. Today is the 15th of June, 2014, and we are happy to be of service to you, and we hope that you're ready to hear what the Bible has to say to the questions on your mind. Nick, you have the first question?
Yes, Sam calls in today. Sam, we sure appreciate you listening. We know you've been listening for some time. We hope things that we're sharing from God's Word is a help to you, and not only you, but all of our listeners. And so Sam's question is, if you know, is it wrong for taking, or is it wrong to take communion every day? When we look in the scriptures, what we see is that the church did come together for that. So one of the first things that we see is that the church would come together for partaking of communion, or what the Bible also refers to as the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 20, therefore, when you come together in one place. In verse 23, he says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. So this is absolutely Lord's Supper. And this is why they were supposed to be coming together. Now, he's condemning them, because when they came together, it was not to partake of the Lord's Supper, but they were supposed to. So the first thing that we note is that partaking of the Lord's Supper requires an assembling or a coming together with the church. And the Bible seems to suggest for that very purpose. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we see very clearly that this was their practice. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, the Bible says, now on the first day of the week. And so the example that we have is that they came together on the first day of the week. Well, for what purpose? It goes on to say, the Bible says, one of the disciples came together to break bread. And so the example we have, Sam, is of the early disciples or Christians. A disciple is just one who follows the teaching of another, or they're a student. They're a student of Christ. They came together on the first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper. This was an assembly, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and they were assembling for that purpose. So that would not allow us to partake of the Lord's Supper every day, in that God has given us an example of what they did, and we see command on how they did it. We would have to follow that example. We would have to follow that command. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So not only are we just listening to the words of the apostles, but we're also imitating, or we're following those examples, those approved examples of where the church came together, or those things that those disciples did. We're following those examples. Those examples are binding on us as well. I hope that's been helpful to you, Sam. Again, we sure appreciate you calling in. The number right now is 614-4161. That's the number here at the station to call in your questions. We're having some challenges with that 3089564 number. So we want you to use today, make sure you use this number today, 614-4161. That's 614-4161 to call in your questions here at the station. We noticed that a couple calls came in on the other line. And so what we would have you do is to call back on this 614 number. Again, that number is 614-4161, and we will let the Bible speak.
We, again, are waiting for your calls and your questions. We got our first question there. It seems as if someone is trying to use our website text line, and it doesn't seem to be going through. Again, we apologize for the technical difficulties. If you have a cell phone, just go ahead and text us directly if you don't mind. And that would be area code 843-725-9283. That's 725-9283, which is area code 843. All of the telephone numbers that we give are area code 843. Now, the voice line is 843-614-4161, and you can get your question in right now, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Or the text line is, again, 843-725-9283. Again, we apologize for the technical difficulties, but we're trying to address those as quick as possible. And so the text box on our website does not seem to be getting the message through right now, and we apologize for that. But if you have a text phone, then just go ahead and text in your question via your cell phone at 725-9283. And we will be glad to go to the Bible for the answer. It's time for us to take our first break. While we are at break, please know that what we're about to tell you is about a free Bible correspondence course. You can take this study at any time, day or night. You can study it at any time it's convenient for you. Whatever is the most beneficial for you as a morning person or a night owl, then you can pick the time to go through and study it. And study that you should, because you will discover things in God's Word that are vital to the outcome of being in heaven one day. We need to make certain that we know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, in order for there to be no surprises on Judgment Day. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, Jesus said, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works?' And then I will say to them, 'Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you.'" Now, they were religious. They seemed to be thinking that they were a shoe-in to go to heaven. Yet Jesus said, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So do we know the law? Do we know what Christ says? Do we know how to obey him as Lord? Well, if we do not know what God's word says, then there's a good chance that we may be in the dark about how to honor God. So don't continue in the darkness that will eventually result in eternal darkness. No, let's let God's light shine in our lives right now and study in his word. So go ahead and call 553-5157, and that Bible course will be sent to you free of charge. Now, while we are at break, you can continue to call in for the Bible course, as many as would like. We'll get in the mail to you this week. But while we are at break, continue to call in your questions at 614-4161. Now, we can only take one call at a time, so you may have to program in your phone and keep on hitting redial till you get through. 614-4161. We'll be right back. For those of y'all that listen every week, we want you to be mindful of that our voice line this week is different. It is area code 843-614-4161. 614-4161. So if you have a question you want to call it in right now, be mindful that that is our voice line for today. And please don't miss out on getting your question live on the air. Or you can have it written down and brought into us. The method that you choose is up to you, but the question is that you choose is also up to you, but God's word will give the answer. Again, 614-614-4161, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. Now, the Bible correspondence course we just mentioned, it is absolutely free. We're happy as can be to send this to you. We literally have thousands of Bible students in the Charleston area, So they can all testify to you that it is free. We never ask for a handout or a contribution of any kind. Matter of fact, it is our honor to give treasure, a spiritual treasure, to you that will never be taken away. That comes from mining the scriptures, going to the Bible for the answers. So you may discover vital truths that you may have never seen before, which may prevent you from going to heaven one day. And so we need to make certain that we know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. And so go ahead and enroll in that. That number is 553-5157. Nick?
We appreciate so much, again, all of our listeners listening week after week. Again, we're hopeful that the things that we share with you is a help to you as you continue to study your Bibles. And why should we study the Bible? That's the only way we're going to find out what God would have us to do. And so we have to get in there. It's not good enough just to say, well, I'm a good person. You know, the Bible in the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, talks about a person who was, in fact, just a good person. And more than just a good person, this guy was spiritual. This guy was a spiritual person. And if you listen to how the Bible describes this man, he sounds like he's in a right relationship with God. In fact, in Acts, the 10th chapter, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. We see in verse 2 that he was a devout man. He was one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. And so this does sound like a man that's in a right relationship with God. In fact, as his servants is describing to Peter, as they're describing Cornelius, here's how they describe him in verse 22 of Acts chapter 10. The Bible says that they called him a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews. Not only was this man, you know, spiritual, but even the Jews, you know, those types of people that would reject Gentiles or idol worshipers, even they had a respect for this man, Cornelius. And so he was absolutely a good man. But we know one thing about this good man, that this man was still lost, that this man was still in his sin. And because he had not gotten into the word, he had not heard the words that he needed to hear. He was instructed by an angel to send for Peter, and Peter would come to him. And in the 11th chapter of Acts chapter 11, he was waiting for Peter to come, according to verse 14, who was going to tell him words by which him and his entire household could be saved. You see, although he was a good man, devout, spiritually minded, he had not heard words whereby he and his household could be saved. And so just being good and religious is not good enough. We have to hear words whereby we and perhaps even our entire household can be saved. And those words are only found within the pages of the scriptures. And so we have to get in God's word so that we can hear those words, so that we can obey God through those words. And again, many places are not teaching those words. And that's why it's so important for you to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. We encourage you in this. And here you have this avenue, this Let the Bible Speak program, where you can call in your questions and we will go to God's word for the answer. To call in your questions right now, go ahead and call 614-4161. Again, that's 614-4161. That's our number that we're using today for you to be able to call in your questions. If you prefer, you can text your question in at 725-9283. 725-9283. If you prefer, you can also go to our website that is available to access other materials to help you in your study of God's Word. Again, that website is www.BibleAlone.com.
We are glad to be able to be of service to you, and we hope and pray that the things that we direct you to in God's Word will be a blessing to you as well. We're waiting on your call. The voice line is available if you want to call right now. It is 614-4161. That's 614-4161, and we will be glad to get your question. We'll go to the Bible for the answers, and you will be able to find out what God has to say on the question that you have. Now, you may have experienced something this morning in church, or maybe your preacher says something. I know many weeks we are bombarded with a subject or two because some preacher has gotten up and said something, or something occurred in the worship service or church that morning, and they want to know, well, what does the Bible say about that? And so you will not be disappointed by finding out what God says, because if we go through this life and we find ourselves facing our judge, that is Christ, who will judge the living and the dead one day, and we have not been done according to his word, his will, then we may be disappointed on that day. So now's the time to find out those questions, find out those answers, and to be able to make adjustments in our life. The number, 614-4161, is our voice line. We can only get one call in at a time, and we apologize for that. So if you get a busy signal, just hang up and hit redial, and you'll be able to get through as soon as we finish with the first caller. So we'll try to keep you alert when the line is available, which it is right now. It is available, 614-4161. You can get through right now, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind.
Nick? Also, again, available to you is the text line, and so that may be a better way today to reach us. You can text in your question. The area code is 843. That number is 725-9283. We want to make mention about our Bible correspondence course that we'll send to you free of charge in the mail. Again, still driving and pushing and nudging you towards Bible study. Study God's Word for yourself. This is a tool that will aid you in your own private study of God's Word. You can study at your own pace. If we send it to you in the mail, you fill it out, and you send it back to us. The number to call in order to sign up for the free Bible correspondence course is 553 843-543-5157. Again, that number is 843-543-5157. Many of our listeners have taken part in this Bible correspondence course or this Bible study that you can do via the mail, and they have found it helpful. Many have made significant changes in their lives as a result of what they see the Bible is actually saying. I was talking this morning in the Bible class about sometimes, people are brought up a certain way, and you're brought up taught things that's really not in the Bible. So let me toss one of those things out there for you, and you may find this fascinating. There's a song I remember being brought up, I learned this particular song, and it sounds like it's saying something that's in the Bible, because it says something like, "And the Bible says." But what it says at the end is really not in the Bible. It talks about mother may have and father may have, but God bless the child that has his own. And that idea of God bless the child that have his own, and it really gives the impression that you're going to find that in the Bible. It says, as the Bible says, and the Bible says, and we know it's true, mother may have, father may have, but God bless the child that have his own. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. It just doesn't. And that's something that I was brought up on. And I think the principle and the thought may be nice, but it's not what the Bible says. And so there are things like that we may have been brought up on, things we've been taught, and the Bible just doesn't say it at all. And that can change the way we view what God is telling us. And not we can misunderstand what God means for us to do. There was another thing that my mom taught me a long time ago, and I'll share this as well. I remember her telling me all the time that money was the root of all evil. And she just kept saying that. Money was the root of all evil. And so I grew up believing that money was the root of all evil. And so a guy pulled me aside and he showed me the scripture there in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, where the Bible says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." And so money is not the root of evil, but the love of it is. And that's a major change than what my mama taught me. And so there are people teaching things, they mean well, but it's wrong. If you have a question about something today, we encourage you to give us a call, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. The number to call right now is 614-4161. Again, that number is 614-4161. And we're going to tell you more about our Bible correspondence course. We're about to take a break. If you've not signed up for it, we want to encourage you to sign up for it. And even while we're at break, you can call in your question. Again, the number to dial in your question is 614-4161. We'll be right back. Again, that number to sign up for the Bible correspondence course is 553-5157. That's 553-5157. For those of you who may be just joining us here at the top of the hour, we are not using our regular number to answer your questions. So if you have a question today, we have a different number. And so we encourage you to call in via this number, 614-4161. Again, that number is 614-4161. And we will do our best to answer your question. Now, that line is not multiple lines. It's just one line. And so you may call and get a busy signal. We encourage you to just call back. Again, hit redial and try to get in. We are trying to do our best to get the question written down and get off the line so the line is clear so you can call in. Again, that number is 614-4161. It's open right now, so you can call in your question, 614-4161. Feel free to text your question in. Our text line is 725-9283. That's 725-9283.
We have Keith calling in this question. Thank you, Keith, for listening, and thank you for jumping in and sending us your question or calling it in for us. We were glad to be able to go to God's Word to help you with the answer. His question is, should we pray God bless us with a true heart of repentance? Well, Keith, that is a really good question. I don't think anyone has quite asked that question that way before, and I really am glad that you are calling and that you're listening today, and hopefully these passages will be of benefit to you. In the book of Corinthians, that is, there's two of them, there's 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, the first letter, God, through Paul, is addressing the church there, letting them know There are several things that they need to address. He had heard about some of the questions that they had and some of the difficulties they were going through. And that first letter, he deals very clearly and forthrightly with some of their problems that they had. Some of those problems were dealing with attitude about the sin and about sinners and exactly the way they were responding to it. Well, when you get to the second letter, we see the flavor totally changes as he gets word about them receiving that first letter and them repenting about that. And he reveals to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning with verse 9, he says, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer the loss, suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but sorrow of the world produces death." So, Keith, the very first ingredient that we should be, yes, praying about and certainly hopefully moving toward is having a godly sorrow. You know, we can be sorry for a lot of reasons. We can be sorry we got caught speeding by the policeman, or we can be sorry that we were offending God because God tells us to obey the laws of the land. We can be sorry that we got caught by our wife doing something that we was doing wrong, or we can be sorry that God himself saw us doing that sin or that offense. You see the difference there, Keith? And that is, we've got to have repentance, yes. And the word repent means to turn away from, an about face, to no longer walk in those things that are wrong. But if it is not generated, sparked by a godly sorrow, that is, I'm trying to do what God says, then it's only going to be short-lived and never count for any good before God. Doesn't matter how good we are, if we're not being motivated by God in those good things that we're doing, it's not scoring any points with God. So our change of life, our fruit that we are showing, must be because God is the one we are trying to please, a godly sorrow, leading to repentance, not to be regretted. That was 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. I hope that's been helpful to you. Again, thanks, Keith, for your question and for your calling in. Again, for those of y'all that are voice questioners, the number today is different. It is 614-4161. Let me say it again, 614-4161. And you can call in your question right now, and it'll be written down and brought into us, or you can still go live on the air if you would like. Again, that voice line is 614-4161. 61. We can only take one call at a time, so if we've got one call in right now, so as soon as it hangs up, we'll try to let you know the line is available for you. 614-4161. The line is busy at the moment, but stay tuned. We'll be able to receive your call in just a moment. Nick, you have a question?
I do. We have Patricia calling in today. Patricia, we sure appreciate you calling. Her question is about angels. Are angels men or women or both? And so that's a very good question for us. When we look in the scriptures only ever refer to angels using the gender of male. So the male gender, which is a he. The Bible doesn't refer to angels in the gender of she. So we're just speaking where the Bible speaks. What we see is the angels, what we know for certain is that they were in the male gender based upon what we can see. And all we can do is go off of what it says. So the examples we have, some of the angels actually were given names. So we have their names like Michael, the archangel in Jude chapter 1 and verse 9, and then Gabriel in Luke chapter 1 and verse 19. And then even going back further in Genesis 19th chapter to Lot, where he in fact entertained strangers, but they were two men. They appeared as two men in Genesis chapter 19 verses 1 through 15. So if we're just looking at what the Bible gives us as a matter of example, what we see in the scriptures is that they were always male. I don't know whether that's a hard and fast, straight across the board. All we can do is just kind of hold what we see in the scriptures, and so there you have it. As far as we can tell from the Bible, they were male.
Okay, the lines are available. Go ahead. Our line is available. Go ahead and call 614-4161. That's 614 4161. Next one can get in right now. The line is available, 614-4161. We have Sam calling in this question. He wants to know, what is grieving the Holy Spirit? Well, let's look at the context of the verse where you're referring to. That is in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Actually, it goes all the way back up to the teens in that chapter where he is talking about take off this sinful thing and put on this purer thing. And so it's an illusion of taking off dirty clothes, putting on good clothes. He deals with anger. He deals with speech. He deals with stealing and work. And he deals with speaking down about people or to people. And then he says in verse 30, he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. And then he goes on to, here's another list of attitudes. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, forgiving one another, just as God has also forgiven you. So here he's bringing out a number of things that we should put off and put on. So being that that verse is put right in the middle of all of those illustrations there, Sam, what do you think it's talking about? When he says, get rid of this and embrace this, put this off, put this on, take this off, put this on. Yeah, I agree. That's what he's talking about. If we're not willing to put aside the sin and put on the fruit of the Spirit, then we are grieving the Holy Spirit. So, again, just look around that. And it even goes on into chapter 5, Sam, and a list worthy to consider and look and consider how that we might be able to obey God. Those lists make it easy, don't they? Thanks, Sam, for your question. We sure do appreciate it. Again, the number is 614-4161, 614-4161, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. The line is busy at the moment, but it should be available in just a moment. So if it's busy, just keep hitting redial and you'll get through eventually. 614-4161. Nick?
Yeah, we have Kim calling in today. Kim calls about Mark chapter 7. Kim, we sure appreciate you listening. Mark 7, verses 10 through 13, she says, if father or mother is in need, is it wrong to give from money meant to give to the church? And so we sure appreciate your question. Let me augment your question just a little bit. And I say this because it's just really true. We should not be giving money to the church. The church is the people. We should be giving money to the Lord. And so it may seem like a minor tweak, but when we put our money in the tray, we're not giving to the church. We're giving to the Lord. And so the question here really is, if father or mother is in need, is it wrong to give from money meant for the Lord? You see how that changes the context just a little bit? And we can answer that question. But now, when we look at Mark 7, verses 10 through 13, well, how do we apply this? Because Mark chapter 7, verses 10 through 13 may suggest something else. So let's look. Mark chapter 7, verses 10 through 13 says this. And this is Jesus chastising the Pharisees because they had a tradition, and they were going around telling these folks, that, you know, if you had money and you were going to give it to the Lord, and that would allow you not to have, you don't have to give it to your mother and father. And says this would have been money for you, but this money is for the Lord. So I'm sorry, you get nothing. And that's the idea here. In Mark chapter 7, verse 10 says, for Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. And then Jesus says to the Pharisees, but you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, or that is a gift of God. That is to say, whatever I was going to give you, I'm sorry, that money is now a gift of God. Then he says, verse 12, then you no longer let him do anything for his father and mother. The idea is that once you've decided that this money now is for the Lord, you can say to your parents, I would have given you some money, but this is for the Lord. And now you don't have to do anything. That's what Jesus is condemning. He's not saying that you can take money that was set aside for him and use it for something else. But rather, what these folks were doing was they were using it as an excuse not to do honor to their mother and their fathers. And you can't do that. You can't take one command and put it on top of another so that you don't have to do the command. You can't do that. They were misusing God's word. We have to do honor to our parents. And yes, absolutely, we need to do honor to the Lord. I hope that's been helpful to you. And there are passages like Acts chapter 5 that shows an example of where people had money in their possession, but once they gave it to the Lord, it was to the Lord. They had to give it to the Lord. And 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we see this idea of laying aside, laying in store. So you're setting aside money for the Lord. Once you set that money aside for the Lord, you need to give it to the Lord. You're saying it's for the Lord. And so then you need to give it to the Lord. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 614-4161. That's 614-4161. I'm sorry.
It's just about time for us to take our next break. We want you to know while we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions. 614-4161 is the voice line right now. 614-4161. We have a few questions here, and so it's just getting things on the roll now. So don't hesitate. If you're calling in the voice line and you find it busy, don't get discouraged. Just keep hitting redial, and you'll get through eventually. Right now, the lines are available, so the next one that calls will be able to get an answer. 614-4161. We'll go ahead and take our break. We got several questions on deck. The next one is going to be concerning, is it proper for a pastor to mock people down and not listen to them? Robert's question is that, and so we're going to deal with that when it comes back. I'm amazed at some of the questions when they come in. So anyway, yeah, we're going to deal with that as soon as we get back. 614-4161 is the voice line. We'll be right back.
Just want to make one correction. Again, if you're calling today and you want to call in your question, the number you're going to dial is 614-4161. Again, that number is 614-4161. You call and we will answer the line. Now, if you get a busy signal, that's because this line is not a multiple line. It doesn't have more than one line. So we encourage you to just redial and to be patient with us, and we'll do our best to get to your question as soon as we can. But please go ahead and call right now your question. The line is open. Again, that number is 614-4161, and we'll do our best to simply let the Bible speak.
And the Bible correspondence course we just mentioned, it is absolutely free, and we are more than happy to send that to you. There is no charge, nor will there ever be. We're actually wanting to share with you the treasure that is contained in God's Word. It truly is a treasure, because if we just start doing what our Creator designed us to do, how our life will turn around. Now, wait a minute before you start thinking, you mean I'm going to be rich in this world's goods? Not any more so than the apostles or Jesus. Maybe a lot more than them, but it won't be because of your walk with God. We live in a rich country. God never promises us that we will have all the world that we could contain. No, matter of fact, Jesus nor the apostles died wealthy. Some of the apostles started off wealthy, but none of them died that way. It was a matter of putting our treasure in heaven, and that's where we truly are the richest indeed, because we have the hope of eternal life in our home that He has gone to prepare for us. So don't miss out on this. Learn what God has for us by studying His Word in the Bible Correspondence Course. The number to get that Bible Correspondence Course is 553-5157. And that is, you shouldn't get a busy signal there, 553-5157. And you can enroll in that course, and we're happy as can be to send it to you free of charge. So don't miss out on this. Now we have Robert and his question, and we have do we have a live caller? Oh, okay. We got a live caller standing by. The name is Renee. Okay. Before Robert, hold on. We'll get to your question in just a second. We got Renee standing by, and she's wanting to go live. And is she on the air? Okay,
yes,
Renee, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. We can hear you. Great, too.
Wonderful.
How can we help you?
I was concerned about when they marked a man in the Bible. Exactly why would they mark a man?
Are you saying mark?
Mark, like M-A-R-K-E-D.
Oh,
mark.
Okay. All right. Yes, that would be like in Romans chapter 16. And in Romans 16, it says that there was a man or someone causing division, and that division was causing trouble among God's people. And he says it to you in verse 17 of chapter 16. He says, now I urge you, brethren, note or mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. So that person was to be marked and avoided because they were causing divisions and offenses contrary to the word of God.
So if the person was not doing anything doctrinal, but had a conflict towards another person about, say, attitudes, you can't just mark a man and have a whole entire congregation mark the person, do you think?
Well, that would be Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Just because of the conflict in the attitude.
Well, it depends on if attitude is sinful. It has to be over sin. If somebody has sinned and they've got a bad attitude, well, then that is sin. From the standpoint, if there's bitterness and wrath and clamor, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 through 32, we see there those attitudes are being addressed. And so if someone has sinned, and maybe the sin eventually caused the attitudes, and then it's just getting worse or spiraling out of control, well, that's addressed in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 15, he says in verse 15 that that person that it was between to begin with should go and talk to them one-on-one. If he fails to respond to them, then you're to take have two or three witnesses to witness the second effort. If they do not respond then they are to bring it before the church, verse 17, and if he refuses to hear the church, it says, let them be like a heathen or a tax collector. In other words, they are no longer one of God's children as far as that condition is concerned. And thus, that's the end of it, because that's the only kind of quote-unquote punishment that can be given by the church. It's not economical. It's not corporal. You don't beat them. It is not capital punishment. You do not put them to death. Now, see, those things were done in the Old Testament. But in the new, it is social punishment, where they are rejected as one of God's children because they continue to practice sin.
I see.
All right. And now there's one other passage that deals with sexual sin, and that's in 1 Corinthians 5, if you want to look about that. And it gives even more explanation of what that rejecting looks like. It says, no, not even to eat with them. So that's 1 Corinthians 5, Matthew 18, and then Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18.
I thank you very much.
You're welcome. We sure do appreciate it, Renee. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you for your help.
You're welcome. God bless you.
God bless. Bye.
Again, the number is 614-4161. Nick, you have a question?
Yeah, Joey calls in and has a question about tithes. He says, in the Old Testament, tithes are in the Old Testament, but not in the New Testament. Explain. Well, when we look in the Old Testament, we'll see that this was something that was supposed to be done by the Jews. We see that Abraham did it in Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, but as a matter of command, we see it being applied to the Jews in Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 through 32. And what we see those tithes were things like land and seed and fruit, and of the tree, and fruit of the tree, and flock, and of their herd. And so they tithe goods, but we never see in the Bible where they tithe money. And so when we get to the New Testament, we see that, and I call the New Testament the New Testament or the New Law of Christ. When that came into being for the church, you're right, there is no tithing. What the church is told to do is to give as God prosper them. And you can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the first several verses there. You'll see what they've been told. Then also 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you'll also see that in that text, God loves a cheerful giver. And when you take it as a whole, this was not something that was done of necessity. This is not something that was supposed to be done grudgingly, but they were supposed to be doing it cheerful. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 614-4161. That 308 number is not working today. It's 614-4161.
That's 614-4161, and the line is available if you want to call in your question right now. You'll be next in. 614-4161. We have Robert's question. His question is it proper for a pastor to mock or knock people down and not listen to them? Well, It does sound like there's an attitude problem there too, doesn't it? But here's what God says. Let's just go, instead of judging, let's just go and see what God says. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 3, he's talking to the leaders. He calls them elders in verse 1, shepherds and overseers in verse 2. And he says to them, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that God does, that does not fade away. So if they are behaving properly as shepherds, as overseers, and as elders, being examples to the flock, well, they will receive that crown of glory. But guess what? Yeah. If they're not that example, then they will have a harsher judgment than anyone. Matter of fact, anybody that teaches God's word is bound to, if they change what God says, there is bound to be a problem. Listen to James. What he and James was an elder, one of those shepherds over a flock in Jerusalem, and he says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Okay. Yeah, we better be careful. Robert, thanks for your question. Again, that was 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. The line is available. The number is 614-4161. 614-4161. The line is available. Go ahead and call right now. Nick?
Richard calls in today. Richard says, how do you worship the Holy Spirit? Well, Richard, that's a great question. And you worship the Holy Spirit the same way you worship Jesus, the same way you worship God. The three are, in fact, one. They make up what is known as the Godhead or divinity. That is God. You know, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In John, the fourth chapter, John chapter 4 and verse 24, the Bible says God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I take those phrases, in spirit and in truth. In spirit would be that which is according with the Spirit, and truth, that which is according to truth. And so we do that in our worship to God. We do that in our worship to the Son. And likewise, we would do that in our worship to the Holy Spirit. But they're not separate and apart. They're one. It is God that we worship. We note in the book of Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says it this way in verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Again, showing that the three are in fact one. So as we render service to God, we are absolutely rendering service to the Father, Son, and that of the Holy Spirit. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 614-4161, 614-4161, and we will let the Bible speak.
We've got this question on deck, and we'll go ahead and read the question so you'll know what's coming up after the break. Keith is calling in this question. His question is, God is not the author of confusion. Please explain women being silent. Keith, that's a great question. And so everyone that's listening, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we'll go there for the answer in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But while we are at break, continue to call in your questions at, here's the number for the voice line, 614-4161. 614-4161. That's our voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Stay tuned for this question. And by the way, while we are at break, go ahead and call in for the Bible Correspondence Course. We are looking forward to your participation as far as you learning some things in God's Word that you may have never heard in church before. You see, most churches today are restricted from telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth because they must go by their doctrinal restrictions. That is, those teachings that define them as what they are. Whatever denomination it is, they've got a man-made doctrine that makes them denominated or divided. And so what we need to do is remove all of those barriers and let's just go to the truth and nothing but the truth God will help us in this, and we'll be able to show ourselves approved unto, yes, God. Not the preacher, not to mama, not to the Pope, not to the world, but to God. And if everything is right with him, then, my friends, everything is right. So let's learn the truth. The only way to do that is to get into the Word, and we're happy to send you this course to help you to discover some of those things that you may have never seen before. Go ahead and jump ahead of everyone else. Here's the number, 553-5157, and you can get that course on the way to you right away. Now, if you already have the course and you've been studying through it, then please go ahead and continue your questions. The voice line today is 614-4161, 614-4161. Call in your question. The line is open, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. We'll be right back. We want you to be aware of that Bible correspondence course that we just encouraged you to enroll in is absolutely free. We go and study with lots of folks during the week, and I'm amazed sometimes that some of the people that I call, that they have not filled out the course and sent it in. That's kind of like having a yard full of diamonds, and you never getting out there to pick them up. Here is a treasure in your own backyard or in your own lap, in your own house. And yet, they're accomplishing or benefiting you nothing if we do not pick them up and be able to apply with the things that we see in God's Word and be able to be blessed from God himself. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, James 4:17 says, to him it is sin. So, if you've been delaying enrolling in this course or delaying filling it out and studying it and sending it in, my friends, don't delay. Go ahead and receive the treasure that God intended for you to have. You might think, well, I'm not a bio. I don't want to study. I'm not in school anymore. Well, that may be the case. I was not a great student in school myself. But when it comes down to God's Word and the treasure and the benefit I received from that, oh, my, it was like drinking salt water. The more you drank, the thirstier you got. It is so blessed, but you don't get, it's not a bad thing. You just hunger more and you thirst more for it. So receive the blessing that only God can give by studying his Word. And to get that on the way to you, just go ahead and call 553-5157. And we'll be glad to send that to you absolutely free. 553-5157. Nick, next question.
Yes, Michael calls in today. Michael says, was Jesus really God's son? Well, when we look at the scriptures, this is what God says himself. He refers to Jesus as his son in Matthew, the 17th chapter. Matthew chapter 17, you have Jesus with his apostles and Peter, James, and John. And he takes them up on a mountain, according to verse 1. In verse 2, the Bible says he is transfigured. That is to say, he changed in before them. In verse 3, you have Moses and Elijah that appears to them. And in verse 4, Peter begins to speak. The Bible says in verse 4, then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. In verse 5, while he, that is to say Peter, was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. So Moses wasn't his son, Elijah wasn't his son, but Jesus was his son. And the Father says, hear him. And of course you have John 3:16, where the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 614-4161. That's 614-4161. That's to have your question called in here at the station. We'll write it down, and it will be brought in to us. If you prefer to text your question in, you can do that. That text line is 725-9283.
Keith calls in this question. His question is, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Please explain women being silent. Well, Keith, great question, and one that we frequent very often on this program. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is where you're quoting from in verse 33, where it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." So whatever he's about to say and what he's been saying is true of all churches of the saints everywhere. Well, the very next verse says, "Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as also says the law. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church." Now, don't miss the phrase "in the churches" or "in church." That right there gives the parameter by which this activity or this lack of activity is supposed to be structured. And when you look at the context, it gives the definition of what he means by "in church." In verse 26, it says, "How is it, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." Verse 23, going back further, "Therefore, if the whole church come together into one place, and then someone come in," and he talks about their behavior, how it will affect the visitor. Then verse 19, "Yet in the church I would rather speak five words with understanding than that I may teach others than 10,000 in a tongue." And so we can see here the context is actually telling us exactly what he is meaning by the phrase "in church." And that is when the church has come together into one place and for that orderly behavior to be taking place. And so what that statement where women are to be silent in the church, in that worship service, is where they are to be silent. Now, it was not just women, my friend. If you notice back up, you'll see in the context where the men were actually told to keep silent, where they were not supposed to speak. It says in verse 27, it says, "If anyone speak in a tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. And if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent." Here it is, the phrase again, "in church, and let him speak to himself and to God." So even the man was supposed to be silent. And when you want to know what this is all about, go down to verse 40. You give the overall flavor of what he's describing. He says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." There is to be an order. Did you notice the verse I just read, where it says, "And that by course, one at a time, each in turn," verse 27. And so you get the idea there. He's giving them restrictions on how their assembly is to be decently and in order, and everything is supposed to be edifying, verse 26. "Let all things be done for edification." And so if those rules are violated, well, then we should understand that God would not be pleased, because we're not following the rules that he has given in all the churches, as you noted in verse 33, as in all the churches of the saints. So that's the way we're supposed to behave ourselves. So if the church does not follow these guidelines, then obviously that may not be a church that is pleasing to God. Thanks, Keith, for your question. We sure do appreciate it, and we hope and pray that was beneficial. While I was answering this, we had Sam call in a question concerning 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14 never came back to it, got his Bible open. Oh, okay. Well, I just did, Sam. Okay, you were waiting on me. That's good. I appreciate that. Hopefully that was beneficial to you. Thanks, Sam, for you calling in and pointing that out. Again, the number is, for the voice line, 614-4161. 614-4161 is the voice line, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. Nick?
We have another call from Robert. Robert, we sure appreciate you calling in today. Robert says, "Can we judge what God says in his word?" And I'm not sure I really understand what you're asking. If you're asking, do we try to test the things that God says from that perspective, judge it in that sense, then certainly the Bible says that we are to approach God's word with the intent of trying to make sure that what it says is true. For example, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "Test all things, hold fast what is good. If you have a different translation, it may say, prove all things. Hold fast what is good. And then you have passages like 1 John. 1 John 4 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the word, gone out into the world. And so typically what you'll find is that we use the word of God to judge or to test or to try teachings that come our way. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. So we use God's word for reproving. That word reproof is almost the idea you're comparing it. You use God's word to compare it to what someone else is teaching. But if you're talking about, can we judge what God's saying in his word, is, or you may be making reference to the idea, can we interpret what God is saying? You know, judge it in that sense. You know, is God's word open to interpretation? Well, certainly God meant what he meant when he wrote what he wrote, or when those whom he inspired wrote what they wrote. And we have to study so as to understand it. But we're not, it's not open to our judgment or our interpretation. And in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Certainly that refers to prophecy of Scripture, that these folks would write as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And it didn't require interpretation, if you will. You know, what we have written here has already been interpreted. It's just our job to try to understand, or to be able to dig into the treasure chests that God has provided, so that we can understand what he says. Another passage that may be helpful is Ephesians chapter 3. And here's what Paul says. Ephesians 3 and verse 3. How that by revelation he, talking about God, made known to me the mystery. So the mystery has been made known. Paul says it was made known to him. And then he says, as I have briefly written already. So when someone writes what's been made known concerning the mystery, it's no longer a mystery. And here's what he says in verse 4. By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And so the whole intent behind the word of God being written is so we can understand what God is saying. And so we don't have to judge it or interpret it from that perspective. Robert, I hope that I've touched on what you were after. I apologize if I have not. To join us right now, go ahead and call 614-4161. That's 614-4161, and we will let the Bible speak. It's time for us to take our last break, but even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to go ahead and call 614-4161. And we've made mention several times throughout the course of this broadcast about our free Bible study through the mail that we offer you. If you want to sign up for that, go ahead and do that now. 553-5157 is the number to call. 553-5157 to sign up for the free Bible study in the mail. If you prefer to text your question to us during the break, you can. Our text line is 725-9283. We'll be right back. This is absolutely our last segment today, and so we have about 13, 14 minutes or so. If you have a question, go ahead and get your question in. The number to call is 614-4161. That's 614-4161. And we will do our best to answer that question according to what the Bible says. You also have, again, this opportunity to take advantage of the correspondence course or the Bible study free of charge. This will help you as you continue to study God's word. We stress, continue to study God's word for yourself. Listen to what God is telling you. Obey God. Hear it from God. And all that's going to be found within his word. If you're interested in starting your own in-home study, go ahead and call 553-5157. And we'll send that material to you in the mail. That's 553-5157. If you want to text in your question right now, go ahead and text at 725-9283.
We have Katie calling in the question. I guess, Katie, you've noticed I've been silent for the last few minutes. I've been doing research on your question. Katie asked this question, was Martha married to Simon the leper? Well, there is nothing in the Bible that would say that Martha was married to Simon the leper. The reason some would come to that conclusion is because that they were at the house of Simon the leper, as in Matthew's account, Matthew 26:6, when Jesus came, Jesus was at Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, that a woman came in having an alabaster flask and was very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on the head, on his head, and sat at the table. And so we see that event, and then of course the controversy over the cost that was associated with that, and Judas the one showing his disdain for such a loss as that, as he would put it. But again, regardless of that, there's nothing to suggest that Martha was married to him. I think the reason that some would come to this conclusion is because it seemed as if Mary may have lived there, and this may have been the home where Mary and Martha, the sisters, lived as well. And so some have concluded, well, that means one of them must have been married to Simon the leper. But there's nothing that says that. And so I can't go beyond what the Bible says. That same house may have had several living there, and we just don't know about the marriage arrangements. And so I apologize for that. There may be some verse of Scripture I'm not aware of, but I looked at the ones in Matthew and Mark and could not find any connection as far as marriage to Martha. Now, your second question is, was Jesus anointed with oil two different times? And again, we have this in these two passages of Scripture, but I believe it is referring to the same event, at least not by Mary. There could have been another situation, but I don't know of two different times that he was anointed, because here he says it will be spoken to her of her for years to come as a tribute to her, because she was preparing me for my burial. So that was the tribute that was given to her for that expensive ointment being put on his head. Now, you may be mixing it up with the woman that came that washed his feet with her tears, and that was another event that took place. So, again, we are sure to appreciate that, Katie. It shows you must be quite a student in trying to put all the pieces of the puzzle together, and I admire that very much. And, by the way, if you really want a challenge, make certain that you call 553-5157 for the Bible Correspondence Course, because there's a lot of in-depth things that are not being taught in churches out there today, vital things that very well could cost one an eternity in heaven if we remain in the dark. And that is, if a church is just being limited in what they will teach or what they will discuss because of their denominational boundaries that they must operate within, well, then don't fall victim to that. Let's listen and find the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so that we can be pleasing to the one who died for us on the cross. If we really love him and appreciate him, well, then we should be about that. Again, the number for your question to be called in right now is 614-4161, 614-4161.
We have another call coming in from Calvin. He says, was Jesus Jewish? That's a very good question. When we look in the Scriptures, what we see is that certainly he would be a descendant of Abraham and a descendant of David. Now, we know King David was a Jew. And so any descendant of David would be also Jewish. In Matthew chapter 1, it says the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It says that he's the son of David, the son of Abraham. So he comes out of Jewish lineage. He would have to be a Jew. And not just a Jew, not just any Jew from that perspective. According to Matthew chapter 2, the Bible describes him as being in a certain role as a Jew. The Bible says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? And so Jesus was not just a Jew, he was the king of the Jews. Now that's Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through about 3. I sure hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 614-4161. 614-4161, while I still have you. Let me go ahead and answer this question. Kim says, if a person is speaking in tongue in church, shouldn't there be an interpreter? Well, and I think that's what Ricky touched on. During the time period when they could speak in tongues, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, what we found is that in order for that to take place, there must be an interpreter. That if there is no interpreter, the person was supposed to keep silent. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 27, verse 28, as if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. and let him speak to himself and to God. And so during this time period where God did speak through individuals so that they could communicate with the church, when they spoke in a tongue is a language, a real legitimate language. They would speak in a language, but if there was no one to interpret the language, then the person who had the ability to speak in tongue was to keep silent. So that's what the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 27, 28, 29 in that area. So go ahead to join us right now. We still have a few minutes. You can go ahead and call in your question, 614-4161. Ricky?
Yes. Just to add one more passage to that previous question, Katie, go ahead and look at John chapter 12, first part of the chapter there as well, to try and get all those pieces together. Matthew 26, 6 and John chapter 12. We sure appreciate your question very, very much. We are thankful to be able to be with you today. We want you to be aware of that while you are able to call in right now and get the Bible Correspondence Course at 553-5157. It is absolutely free. We'll be glad to send that to you in the mail, and we're happy to do that. And you'll learn things from God's Word that possibly you've never, ever seen before. Studying the Bible for yourself builds faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if we sit in church and listen to the preacher or listen to those that are instructing, and we take their word for it without seeing it for ourselves, without building, seeing the measurement for ourselves, then we truly are taking somebody else's word for what God's word says. So if we do that, it is so easy for us to be shifted away from the truth ever so slightly. And you might wonder how that works. Well, just go all the way back to the garden. When the devil told Eve, "You shall not surely die," well, that was true, and that was false. You know, it was both true and false. You see how the devil operates? Just because one way to look at something makes it true does not mean another way to look at it from God's perspective will make it absolutely false. That's why the devil was called cunning. So we've got to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Some translations put 2 Timothy 2:15 as give diligence to making thyself or showing thyself approved unto God. So you might not like that, but the truth of the matter is that that's the only way to get the truth is to see it for ourselves and to understand that that's what God wants us to obey. To be able to show ourselves approved unto God, we've got to learn these things. Ephesians 5 and verse 17 says, "Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So that's why we want to encourage you to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course. It is free, and it will be in the mail this week. 553-5157 is the number. You can enroll right now, and we'll be glad to send it to you absolutely free. And by the way, as you get it in the mail, you take it, fill it out, study it, look up all the scriptures, fill it out, and send it back to us. Then we will grade it, turn it around right back to you along with the next two lessons. Then you'll take those and study them anytime you want, day or night. And then when you're ready, you poke them in an envelope, send them back to us. We'll grade those, send those back to you along with the next three lessons. And then you will go through and study those, send them back to us. You'll finish the first course, and we'll get a certificate to you to show our appreciation for your participation in the first course. And then there will be other courses that we're happy to send to you as well. I think the last count, we have over 20-something courses of study that we're glad to send to you absolutely free. So don't miss out on this. Again, that number for the free Bible Correspondence Course is 553-5157, and we will get the Bible course to you absolutely free. We want to say, because it looks like we've dealt with all the answers so far, we want to let you know how much we deeply appreciate your interest in seeking after God in His Word. It says something about you, because you do not want to be content with what this world is providing. And smart you are if that's the case, because everything in this life is only here for a few moments. It is just here today and gone tomorrow. But the Word of God lives and abides forever. And so to have the kind of fulfillment that God wants you to have, what we must do is to look to God in His Word for the fulfillment, for that peace that passes all understanding, learning to be content with the things that we have that are external here, and then seeking after the true answers of life before God. We want you to know that you have chosen the right thing if that's where you're wanting to go for the answers to God's Word. What we want to do is to share with you in written form and in verbal form during this radio program what the Bible says, because all our desire is to let the Bible speak.